I want to speak to you tonight about a man who appears only once in Bible history and then disappears. One of those rather obscure Bible characters, but yet someone that we can learn a lot from. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea. This Joseph is often overlooked. He's not the father, the earthly father of Jesus. He's not Joseph Barabbas, but Joseph of Arimathea. But as we look closely at him, there are some important messages for us and the events that propelled him into the pages of history. And though he's only inserted into biblical history one time, all four gospel accounts refer to this occurrence. So it's significant. And so let's see what we can learn from Joseph of Arimathea. First of all, who was Joseph of Arimathea? Luke 23, beginning with verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision, indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. He was from Arimathea. We don't know exactly where that is. It is believed to be a town in Judea, not far from Jerusalem. He was a council member. When we see that, we need to understand that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. The Jewish Supreme Court that was so intent on getting rid of Jesus as a threat to the Jewish religion. He was a member of that Jewish Supreme Court. In fact, Mark tells us that he was a prominent member of the Sanhedrin. Take note of that because of something else we'll point out about him. He was a good and just man. A good and just man. And this certainly distinguished him from the majority of the Sanhedrin who turned out to be bloodthirsty murderers of Jesus. But on the contrary, he was a good and a just man. In fact, his moral goodness is illustrated in the fact that he didn't go along with the rest of the Sanhedrin in how they treated Jesus and the decisions they made concerning him. But notice also this text tells us that he was waiting for the kingdom of God. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. And that would indicate to us that he was familiar with the Old Testament scriptures that were pointing to the coming of the Messiah and how that this new Messiah would be the king of his kingdom. And he was waiting for all of this to transpire. Perhaps, as many were expecting in his day, he anticipated it being a physical, earthly kingdom that would overcome the current world power. But having said all that, of summarizing what Luke has told us about Joseph of Arimathea, I want to underscore this statement again. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He didn't go along with the rest of the Sanhedrin about how they were raising up these false witnesses, even bribing these witnesses to share false testimony about Jesus, to try to condemn him. He didn't go along with that. He didn't go along with their decision to crucify him. So, though he was a member of the Sanhedrin, he had not consented to their decision and deed. But notice this. Since the scripture is silent, it appears that though he had not consented to their deed and their decisions, he had not contested their actions either. He didn't speak up. He didn't go against the Sanhedrin. He didn't stand up and say, this is unjust. This is not fair. This, as Pilate has declared, this is indeed an innocent man. Apparently, as far as the scripture states, he said nothing. Not one indication that he spoke even one word in Jesus' defense. Perhaps he absented himself to avoid the problem. Perhaps he abstained from voting as a way of probably thinking that one vote, one vote contrary to the majority opinion wouldn't make that much of a difference. But for some reason, he did not consent to the proceedings or the verdict or the sentence. Nevertheless, he was silent. But John gives us this information. John 19:38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. So he was a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, but a secret disciple. Apparently, he was one of those spoken about earlier in the book of John, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So among these wonderful qualities of Joseph of Arimathea, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. He was a good and a just man, yet he was a secret disciple. He hid his identity as a follower of Jesus for fear of the Jews. But the rest of the story, as we'll see, is that he's about to leave this class of disciples. And what I want us to consider is, what is it that causes him to be emboldened, to come out in the open as a true, genuine follower of Jesus? Despite his position, his prominent position, his respected position, his position of authority among the Jews, he's been hiding his light under a bushel, if you will. He's been a secret disciple. But something changes, and he's going to let his light shine even in the day. Number two, what did Joseph of Arimathea do? Let's go to Luke 23, verses 52 through 54. This man, Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, then took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Notice something about the time. It's the day of preparation for the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath. Jesus died about 3 p.m. on Friday of that week. The Sabbath would commence at 6 p.m. Friday evening as the Jews kept their time. And according to the rabbinical writings, a few hours before that 6 p.m. time were called the preparation. So the day, it was during that time of preparation between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. on that Friday. And time was of the essence because it was contrary to Jewish law to have a criminal hanging on a cross overnight. That's Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23. So here's Joseph of Arimathea, a very respected Jew, a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Jewish Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, who feels compelled to do something about Jesus, whom he has been following, and does not want Jesus' body to be kept on the cross into the Sabbath. So time is of the essence. And so he hurries to go to see Pilate to gain permission to take the body of Jesus down from the cross. So he goes to Pilate and he asks for the body of Jesus. He's taking some risks now. As a member of the Sanhedrin, he is now taking the risk of being identified now as a follower of Jesus. And he takes the body of Jesus down, wraps it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. A lot of care is given by Joseph in taking care of the body of Jesus. You see, he wants to give Jesus a proper burial. And John also tells us that he's joined by another ruler by the name of Nicodemus. John 19, verse 39. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. So here's Nicodemus. You probably remember Nicodemus. I think of him as Nick at Night in John chapter 3. He's coming at night under the guise of darkness to avoid probably the comments from his fellow rulers in the Sanhedrin, just as Joseph of Arimathea was. And Jesus talks to him about the new birth. That's in John chapter 3. But now Joseph has taken this bold move to go and ask for the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus also steps forward. And he brings this mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. This was actually probably more like 75 pounds, as the original language says, 100 litres. And that was a litre is only 12 ounces. But these myrrh and these aloes, very aromatic. And this was an expense incurred. But here are Joseph and Nicodemus that are emboldened now to go and ask Pilate and to take care of the body of Jesus and to give him a proper burial. Nicodemus first came to Jesus by night. Now he's a disciple in the daylight. You see, these two men of scholarship and wealth, now in the hour of deepest shame for Jesus, openly avowed their love for him and confidence in him. So think about what Joseph did and Nicodemus. How it was an act of bravery. It put Joseph at risk. The council members, the Sanhedrin members who wanted Jesus dead would not regard giving him a proper burial, something that any of them would want to do. But yet, Joseph breaks out of those ranks and he determines to do this for Jesus. So his action would alienate him from those with whom he shared this prominent position. The Roman authorities might look suspiciously upon one who would take such care of one who had been viewed as an enemy of the Jews. And the crowds who had turned against Jesus, who at first cried Hosanna, but their cries had turned to crucify him, might turn against one who would stand up for Jesus. So it was a brave act that Joseph of Arimathea made. It was an act of sacrifice. It would cost Joseph a great deal of money. Matthew's account tells us this. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Notice he was a rich man. This was a tomb that he had purchased. But it was a sacrifice that he wanted to make for the burial of Jesus. But even more, Joseph was sacrificing something else. If you remember about the Jewish law, the law of Moses, and how to touch a dead body would render one unclean. But Joseph and Nicodemus set that aside as they take care of the body of Jesus. The next day was the Sabbath. And as being religiously unclean by touching a dead body, they were defiled. They would not be able to fully participate in the Sabbath the next day. Not only was it an act of sacrifice, it was an act of love. One writer suggests that Jewish law forbade executed criminals from being buried in family plots. That the Jewish law forbade that. But Joseph is ignoring that and wants to do this for Jesus. You see, an agonizing, humiliating death would be followed by further degradation. But Joseph, because of his love for Jesus, didn't want that fate to fall upon him. But notice this, it was a public act. A public act. He'd been a secret disciple. He hadn't been telling the people around him that he was a follower of Jesus. But now this is a public act. It wouldn't go unnoticed that he would go before Pilate and that he would do these things for the body of Jesus. And so this secretive aspect of discipleship is over. Private faith became full demonstrated faith. And the question is, what made the change? What made the change? Why did this follower of Jesus, though secret follower of Jesus, what changed that made him boldly go before Pilate and do these things, knowing the risks and the consequences of those choices? Mark 15:43. Notice this passage. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So he's emboldened. He's now courageous. He's now saying, forget this secrecy, this secret discipleship. It's like he's drawn a line in the sand and now he's stepping across and he's declaring, I'm a follower of Jesus. What changed? How is it that he sheds his secret discipleship and now he boldly goes before Pilate? Why is it that he's now willing to take the risks of being a disciple of Jesus in the daylight for all to see? It appears the answer is this. That it was Jesus being crucified on the cross. He had been following Jesus from a distance, if you will, secretly. But seeing Jesus crucified on the cross and knowing apparently something about what that really meant changed his perspective, changed his resolve in following Jesus. Now he's stepping out, stepping forward as one who wants to declare publicly that he is a follower of his. What are some lessons from Joseph of Arimathea, this often overlooked Bible character? Here's one. When we consider what Jesus did for us on the cross, it should instill a spirit of boldness and courage within us. Think about Joseph of Arimathea and Peter the apostle. There's a contrast there. Peter, you remember, spoke out boldly. Even if I have to die for you, I will never forsake you, he boldly declared before Jesus. But it wasn't long where he was weak and he wasn't so bold and he became afraid. Joseph, on the other hand, is a secret disciple, but then becomes bold when he realized what Jesus had done on the cross. And because of what Jesus did for us, we should say and live with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If Jesus would go demonstrate that much love for me by going to the cross on my behalf, then there isn't anything that I shouldn't be willing to do for him. Just as it emboldened Joseph of Arimathea, we should draw that same courage and boldness to live for Jesus. A second lesson. The power of fear is great, but the power of love is greater. It was fear of the Jews, that Joseph didn't share the fact that he was a follower of Jesus. He kept it secret for fear of the Jews. Perhaps like those others that we read about in John chapter 12, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Fear kept him from full allegiance to Christ. But it was that love that Christ displayed on the cross that it emboldened Joseph to openly declare his faith. Now when I read 1 John 4:18, I'm going to think about Joseph of Arimathea. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I would suggest to you that it was the love that Christ had for him and that Joseph had for Christ that emboldened him to overcome his fears and stand for him. Number three, Jesus requires open confession. Open confession. He doesn't want secret disciples, but to be full declared disciples. Whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Open confession. I love this statement that is attributed to Dale McConnell. There's no such thing as secret discipleship. Either the secrecy will destroy the discipleship, or the discipleship will destroy the secrecy. And thankfully, in Joseph of Arimathea's case, it was the latter. That his discipleship destroyed the secrecy. That it was that love that he had for Christ that caused him to take those bold steps to declare, I'm a follower of his. That discipleship destroyed the secrecy. And a final lesson that we can learn from Joseph of Arimathea, among others, is that by being bold, we embolden others. I wonder, if it was Joseph's bold actions to go before Pilate, even as a member of the Sanhedrin, to face the consequences of whatever they were from his fellow rulers in that Jewish court, to endure the mockery of the crowds, perhaps, to be held in suspicion by the Romans. I wonder if it was his boldness that emboldened Nicodemus, who had that discussion with Jesus, who was touched by what Jesus had to say, that it emboldened Nicodemus to come forward and to assist Joseph with the burial of Jesus. Because of the courage of others, we've been encouraged, haven't we? Don't we all know of Christians who have stood in difficult circumstances, that by their example, they have encouraged us to do the same. And through our courageous example, we can encourage others. By taking a stand for Jesus, by seeking to follow him faithfully, no matter what the cost, it may just help someone else make that same decision. William Barclay writes this of Joseph. Joseph was a person for whom the cross did what not even the life of Jesus could do. When he had seen Jesus alive, he had felt his attraction, but had gone no further. But when he saw Jesus die, his heart was broken in love. First the centurion, then Joseph. It is an amazing thing how soon Jesus' words came true. That when Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. When Jesus was lifted up on that cross, many believed on him and would believe on him. And one of those who was drawn to Christ on that occasion was this Joseph of Arimathea, a secret follower of Jesus, that because of what he saw happen to Jesus, was emboldened to openly declare his faith. May the life and the actions of this rather obscure Bible character embolden us to take a stand for Jesus, to walk in his steps, to openly declare that he is the Savior of the world and the Lord of our lives, so that others may come to that conclusion and be encouraged by our example to follow in those steps. Perhaps there's someone tonight that wishes to make those initial steps of faith, that you want to declare, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus. And I realize that I must turn from sin. I must be willing to confess him before others and be baptized into Christ so that my sins can be washed away. It may be there are others of us who perhaps relate to Joseph as he was a secret disciple, as have put our light under a bushel, but wish now with the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ to make some changes, to be emboldened, to be a follower of Jesus in the light as he is in the light. If you need the prayers of the church, or if you need to respond tonight, please come right now as we stand and sing.